Gee, agus fáilte go dtí an clár cum an lúctras cíl an seachtain a seo le mí Tom Cormack with you as usual on a Wednesday night until 9 o'clock. And always, as we always say, hope you can stay with us well. Big weekend of championship action coming up this weekend with North West sides Donegal and Tyrone, both in All-Ireland Senior Football Championship quarter-final action. That's part of a double bill on Saturday afternoon and Saturday evening in Croke Park. It's Tyrone versus Ulster champions Monaghan in the curtain raiser, followed by Donegal versus Mayo in the second of the quarterfinals. And I think most people are hoping for much improved games and much better class of football this weekend following last weekend's one-sided quarterfinal meetings of Kerry and Kildare in particular. And, well, Fermanagh's gutsy performance against Dublin in the second of the quarterfinals. But to look forward to those games and to put their heads on the block, we'll be joined by Manus Boyle, the Donegal 1992 All-Ireland winner and, of course, now a columnist with the Donegal Democrat, former Donegal and Mayo player, and now, of course, RTE match analyst and pundit Martin Carney, a very good friend of ours on the programme. And we'll also be joined by former Tyrone player and, of course, an All-Star defender, John Lynch. He will look to join us as well to look forward to that meeting of Tyrone and Monaghan, and well, to give us the feeling of how they're looking forward to that game in the O'Neill County. So that's coming up between now and 9 o'clock, so we better be moving on because we've got a very busy programme for you, as I said. And well, if you do want to contact us, and or you can text us on our text number 086 77 00 555. I'll give you that number again. It's 086 77 00 555. And if you want to text us from the north of Ireland, it's 00 353 86 77 00 555. Jimmy's keeping an eye on me to make sure I keep it right on this occasion. As I said, looking forward to those All-Ireland quarterfinals in a moment in the company of Manus Boyle, Martin Carney and John Lynch. But first, as I'm delighted to say, I'm joined tonight by a young Donegal handballer, Avrin McNamee, of course, who is from the McCool's Club in Ballybuffet, who is jetting out this weekend to Calgary in Canada to compete in the World Handball Championships.
Well, Avrin, heading off to Calgary in Canada at the weekend for the World Handball Championships. I'm sure you're looking forward to that.
Ah, yeah, I'm buzzing at the minute now. The lead up to it's been great, like, so hopefully, fingers crossed, now we'll get over and get settled okay. So really,
and tell us about the championships. You know, how was it run? How, you know,
basically now there'll be two kind of different codes in Calgary itself. The one wall will kick off first, that starts on the 11th, and then the 40 by 20, which is, would be my code, it'll kick off on the 15th of August. So basically it's a tough enough situation. It'll be straight knockout, like, it'll be just.
And what level are you at? I'm sure there are many levels.
The level here, well, equivalent to, kind of, I suppose, put it to football terms where people will be more familiar, it'll be kind of more an intermediate, so that'll be the women's A.
Yeah.
So then that's just one category beneath the senior grade. So within the next, even when I come home after the World Championships, then the All-Ireland Championships will be kicking, and then pre-season for that. So I'm hoping within the next year or two, to be honest, to be cracking the intermediate grade and then moving up into senior to contest the senior grade. Like, so that's the plan.
And do you have to qualify
for the Worlds?
Yes.
Well, as I said, whenever you look at the official Team Ireland,
yeah,
there'll be representatives that goes from 17 and under, 19 and under, and then you'll have your senior,
yeah,
captains.
Yeah.
So you're a bit unlucky if you're kind of stuck in between in the middle, obviously, because handball, I mean, it caters right up to, I mean, 75 years of age, there'll be people competing in the World Championships. So obviously Team Ireland can't cater for everybody, but that's as a goal for every player. That's where you want to be, is up in your senior grade, and that's what every player is pushing for. But as it says, there's 260 Irish people heading out,
women,
as well. So, but it's great handball. It's a very close knit community. I mean, I'll be heading out, and I've, you know, great friends and training partners from Tyrone and Mayo and Roscommon, and it is great. So I'm looking forward to kind of just getting behind the Team Ireland.
And you talk about training. What is your preparation like? How long has it been? How long have you been preparing for this in training?
Preparation this year actually has gone really, really well. Very, very lucky this year actually. Fitness wise and stuff, the last few years with injuries and stuff, they've been just kept creeping in and creeping in. But this year I've actually been working with His name's Tommy Gallagher. He's just down the road here from Core Pro Fitness Institute. Yeah. And so himself, and there's another guy there, Liam Paul Ferry as well, has been putting me through my fitness and everything. So Tommy's been absolutely fantastic, keeping my injuries at bay now and stuff. So it's great to have him on my side now. But as well as that then, so it's just like any other support. You have your fitness end of it. And then I'm on court then most evenings with my coach, who's Paddy Murray, just from Ballybuffet as well. Like, so spend a lot of handball because it's an individual sport. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a lot of times court-wise, you could be on the court for 2.5 hours with your coach. Like,
and that's 7 days a week.
Do you know what I mean? That's most evenings. So it's a lot of commitment when it's just that individual sport. But that's what I love about it. Like, as well as you're dependent on yourself really, and there's no excuses, win, lose, or.
I'm not suggesting that you're old by any stage,
no.
But I know from following handball and following your progress,
yeah.
You were a very successful juvenile, and you've been off the scene for a while. So how long are you back playing again?
Roughly, I would say last year was a rough year. As I said, juveniles, I had a really, really successful career juvenile-wise.
Just remind us again, how successful?
Well, I had numerous titles from even under 12 up from Ulster, and then I would have reached the under-16 All-Ireland. I was just beaten under-16 All-Ireland final. But then I have the Junior B and the Junior then All-Irelands. I've won that. Like, but as I said then, injuries and stuff were creeping in, and repetitive injuries. It was really frustrating because it was the same injuries that was coming back at me all the time. But as I said now, this is the first time now that I've really felt I have a really good, strong team of people behind me now. And as I said, Tommy's been absolutely fantastic at keeping my injuries at bay. So I'm actually feeling really good now at the minute. I'm 25 at the minute. I'm not too shy at admitting me. I'm 25. I'm still young enough, so I've still a lot of playing left in me yet now.
And is this your first World Championships?
This is my second World Championships. Right. I was in Dublin in 2012. I was in the City West. That was my first World Championships. I reached the quarter final of, but even back in 2012, again I had old injuries niggling at me and different wee things in my body just wasn't fully fit. But as I said, this time now around, I'm hoping for a different story now this time around. I can call on those experiences and stuff as well.
And just remind us again, it's in Calgary. When does it start? When do you have your first game?
My first game, again in the 40-20 code, it'll be the 15th of August.
Right.
15th of August, so it's not too far away.
Yeah. And what's the goal? What's the objective?
Well, as I said, heading out to Calgary, I mean, it's not cheap. So I'm not going out here kind of just for the crack, as we would say here in Donegal. I'll be guns blazing, to be honest. I'll be going out now if I can bring my game with me. As long as I don't leave it in Donegal, I'd be quite confident.
Do you know any of your opponents, or is there a draw made?
Funny, I was just looking at that. Some people have wee superstitions and they don't look at all at that kind of stuff. But I took a wee nosy there. It was only last night. The draws aren't made yet. Now they'll hopefully be done by the end of this week. But I mean, a lot of the players. There's a lot of Canadians, a lot of Americans, and then even later stages of the competition, then you could come up against another Irish opponent. Like, the Irish are very, very strong, but I mean the Americans then are very strong, and of course the Canadians as well. Like, but so I'm actually looking forward to getting to, because they've different styles of play and stuff. The Americans, they've a different wee style about them, so it's a great experience to get.
But the one rule applies.
Unified standard. Yeah, surely.
And when is your first game? Did you say again?
15th of August.
The 15th of August. So we wish you luck on that.
Listen,
and
thanks very much, Sam.
Hopefully it goes well. You mentioned there about it doesn't come cheap. Does that mean you have to finance it all yourself, or have you backing from club or handball associations? Or
I've been planning this last year, so I actually released a piano CD. Frank, good friend Frank, he was actually very good. He had an interview with me as well to give it a good plug in. But so even the last year, I've been kind of planning this. Now I have to say now, my work has been fantastic as well. He's actually given me. I mean, I've been off work now. I work for Francie Marley. He's Marley's
good
coach.
GM,
Marley co-chair, good GA man. He's actually, I mean, just to even give me the time off work, so that I can get fully concentrated on training to get prepared for this, you know. So I really, really appreciate that fact that I suppose I have a job to come back to at the end of it all, that kind of way.
And is there anybody going out with you? Family, coaches?
My coach is going out. Yes, this my ring man, as we'll call him. He's the man in the corner for that. I'll be leaning on, that kind of way. Like, so it's. Looking forward to that, I have to say.
And I detect your hand in the plaster.
Yeah.
That's not a very good sign, is it?
Oh, as I say, we'd seen an accident about 2 weeks ago, but it's only a sprain in the thumb. It looks worse than it is, so it's just a matter of keeping it taped up now.
It's a matter of going home now, unpacking the case and getting ready. And
well, this is it now, yeah, getting ready. Just final. I'm just up the road from Tommy's, actually. I just had my last fitness session with him. Brilliant. I'll get a wee rub out now on Friday and
head to Dublin
on Saturday and fly out on Sunday. So
we wish you all the best. Listen. And hopefully we'll maybe talk to you when you come back with a bag full of medals.
Thanks very much, Tom.
Yeah, Avril McNamee there. Avril, thank you indeed for joining us, and we wish you all the best. She heading off to Calgary in Canada to compete in the World Handball Championships beginning, I think that's on Tuesday week, in actual fact, is the 15th. No, sorry, it's actually Saturday week, and she's in the intermediate section, so we're keeping an eye on her, and hopefully, as I said, she comes back with a bag full of medals. Certainly a very promising young handballer here in Donegal, the only Donegal person heading to the championships as part of an Irish contingent. Well, from handball, we turn our attention to football, obviously, and all eyes here in the Northwest, and indeed down the west of Ireland as well, is on Croke Park on Saturday evening, and the second round of games in the All-Ireland qualifiers. Remember, it was Kerry versus Kildare last weekend, and Dublin versus Fermanagh on Sunday afternoon, and it's Donegal versus Mayo on Saturday evening, and the curtain raiser is Tyrone versus newly crowned Ulster champions Monaghan. I'm delighted to see him joined on the phone by former Donegal star, All-Ireland winner Manus Boyle, and also by former Donegal and Mayo player Martin Carney. Good night to you both, gentlemen.
How you doing, Tom?
Good night, Tom. How are you?
Good night to you. And, I think we're having a little bit of a problem with the phones already, but I think we've got it sorted now. And, first of all, I suppose I mentioned there Manus Boyle last weekend's games in Croke Park, and the quarterfinals pretty lopsided. I know Fermanagh did come back well in their game against Dublin. Kerry and Kildare in particular is the one game that has commanded a lot of attention all week, and certainly a lot of cries going out about the standard of football and that something must be done on it. Before we look ahead to Donegal and Mayo, first of all, what's your thoughts on last weekend's games?
Well, I suppose they were fairly lopsided, you know. It's what happens when you have the rest of the teams outside the top five or six in the country come in against the better teams, and then if the likes of Kerry or Dublin, Donegal or Mayo or any of those teams, if they open you up and they decide to go hell for leather at it, they can do it, and that's what Kerry done. You have a huge Kerry squad at the minute, and every one of them want to start, and they were putting in their 50 cents worth to Fitzmaurice to say, hey, listen, I want 1-15, you know, and you can't blame them for that. Kildare, on the other hand, you know, they'll have to go back and regroup and, you know, start again, you know.
Yeah, it's very difficult to start after that. And the amazing thing about that game, Manus, was, you know, there was only a few points in it at half-time. You know, all the goals came in the second half.
Yeah, I just think, Tom, I mean, ever since the backdoor system has come in, the teams that have to play, you know, maybe 3-4 games in 5 or 6 weeks, they get to a certain stage in the game, especially in Croke Park against the fresher team, and it comes back, and the fresher team can get into third, fourth gear a lot quicker, where the other teams are used to playing against lesser teams, and they don't have to raise their standard that much in some of the occasions to beat them.
Yeah.
But when they come up against a good team, you know, they find it very hard then to get into that overdrive in order to sustain the intensity and to sustain the standard that you need to play the better teams. And I mean, Kerry, you know, Kerry strolled in the end, and to be fair to Dublin, so did they. I think Fermanagh, the greatest respect to them, you know, I think they were gone after 10 or 15 minutes. But, you know, they just kept plugging away. They're good lads, they're honest lads, and they just wanted to do themselves and the county pride, and they done that. But, I mean, Dublin, probably second gear, third gear at most, you know.
And Martin Carney, good night to you, Martin.
Hi, Tom.
Tell me, what's your reaction to last weekend's game? Are they a cause for concern?
I don't think so. I think Manus is perfectly right in his assessment. If you look at it, Tom, in first division this year, Cork, funny enough, were the leading team after seven games. But the next six teams under that are all, the last six teams left in the championship. And I think there is a huge gulf between the first division and teams in the divisions below them. And again, maybe Kildare got a wee bit ahead of themselves after beating Cork the previous weekend and maybe imagined themselves to be a little bit better than they were. But I think the fact that Kerry had to play a replay against Cork, I saw both of those games actually, and Kerry improved immensely from the first to the second game. And, you know, we all talk about the Kerry attack, like they have so many options. Like if you think of last weekend, Tom, Barry John Keane came off the bench, he scored 1-3. Darren O'Sullivan came off the bench, he scored 2-1. They weren't in a position to bring Big Donaghy off the bench. So they have an embarrassment of riches up front. They have a very steady midfield in Brian Sheehan and David Morne and Anthony Maher. And maybe if they could be got it at the back, I still feel that there's a vulnerability there. But they're vastly superior. And if you go back in football, Tom, you go back in the history of football. Generally speaking, you have three or four teams in any given year that are going to be way ahead of all of the others. And I wouldn't be overly pessimistic about the future of football. The Dublin team, obviously. Again, I'm agreeing with Manus on this. They didn't have to get out of second gear. But the team that I enjoyed over the whole weekend, actually, was Fermanagh, because they gave every single ounce that was in their system in pursuit of doing as best as they could. Everybody knew they would have a difficulty with Dublin, but they came out of the game, I thought, with a huge amount of pride. And the player I enjoyed more than anybody was Sean Quigley, because he looks like a man who never went into a proper training session. But by God, he's technically a very efficient kicker of the ball with either foot, and to me he just emptied the tank and was a credit, as were all the other lads, to Fermanagh football.
And I suppose there was respectability in Fermanagh, losing to Dublin by 7 or 8 points. And I know Jim McGuinness, is it, and Tomás O'Shea and a few more have been critical of their attitude. But I know from speaking to Dom Corrigan, they were quite happy. That was their goal. That was their All-Ireland. That was their crack at the big time. They're never going to win an All-Ireland. The most people in Fermanagh will agree.
Well, that's the thing. At the end of the day, when you think people now will know about, young Mulrone, he played, I forget what he scored. I think he got 2 or 3 points. They'll know about Tommy Corrigan now. But what it'll do, there's a few guys in Fermanagh that aren't playing football at the moment, the likes of Seamus Quigley and that, and, decent footballers. And maybe what it'll do, it'll whet the appetite for the players that are there and encourage other boys that are in the fringe to give it that little bit extra next year. And, I think it's only the third or fourth time in Croke Park, but I think Pete McGrath already has a sight set on next year, with maybe, the aspiration of winning an Ulster title. And maybe that's if that's what that game has done to the Fermanagh game, or to the Fermanagh lads, to give them a higher vision of what is possible out there, then it was a good day for Fermanagh.
Anyway, Manus Boyle, onto the bigger picture, and most people of the opinion that the championship race really begins this weekend, that you've got probably two very, very, very keenly contested and very evenly matched games in Donegal and Mayo and Monaghan and Tyrone. And I've got a text in here from one of our good listeners, Malcolm. If Donegal play as they did in the second half against Galway on Saturday, they will win hands down, Manus.
The only problem with that is they'll not be playing Galway in the second half next Saturday.
Yeah.
I think there's, we'll go back to the huge difference, the huge chasm there is between the class and the capabilities of Galway and Mayo. Mayo, again, probably came through Connacht at a canter. I think the change of management has helped them. I think they've brought a new insight. It's a different voice in the dressing room. It's maybe a different way of doing things. It's still the same players, but it's sometimes a new voice, a new way of training, a new format, and how even they go to games can help players. It can help liven them up. I think they've done their job again against Sligo. They showed no mercy. Mayo in the Connacht final, they showed no mercy. That's a trait, that some people might say, look, you kicked the ball over the bar. But, that's a trait that all the top teams have. And again, Donegal showed that against Galway. They weren't happy just by tapping the ball over the bar. They went for the goals near the end to kill them off.
The one thing that's
staring out at me, and I'm sure staring out at a lot of people. Donegal have played 6 games so far in the championship. Mayo have played just 2. You know, who is in the better position as a result of that going into the weekend's games, Martin?
No, you see, you can look at it 2 ways, Tom. Like, first of all, with Donegal, they're in a good place, but it's all dependent on their state of health. I mean, what I mean by that, have they picked up many injuries in the last few weeks? Are there many strains? Are there many knocks? To my mind, they have had a most difficult championship. 4 very hard games in Ulster against the best teams in Ulster. Again, last weekend, I mean, the game against Galway, it was won comfortably at the end. But remember, there was a point in that game, Tom, where I think Paul Conroy missed 2 opportunities for a freeze. And then young Varley had a very good opportunity of a goal and didn't take it. Now, I figure if one of those scores had gone in, it might have actually put very serious questions to Donegal. But I honestly believe that, I thought Donegal last weekend gave a very uneven performance. Like, when you consider it, they went 30 minutes without scoring. Similarly, in the Ulster final, they went a long period without scoring. And even though Monaghan looked the better team that day, Donegal could have won it. Now, Mayo, I don't know what to make of them. They have played 2 games, just as you said, Tom, at the head of your piece there. Donegal will have played, how many have they played? 5, isn't
it? 5, yeah.
Yes, and Mayo have played 2. And the second Mayo game was, I don't know, of much benefit to them. But, which is the better thing? Is it to come in rested, or is it to come in with a bit of momentum behind you? As I said about Donegal, I feel that the momentum hasn't taken too much out of them, and if they're healthy, if the likes of Carl Lacey is okay, Eamon McGee is okay, Michael Murphy is okay, Neil Gallagher is okay, then they'll be very difficult to beat. But if any one of those or any combination of those guys are injured, then Mayo will certainly be in the driving seat.
And Manus, as you know, quite a few of those people that are that Martin has mentioned there, particularly Carl Lacey, Eamon McGee, they have picked up knocks and are a serious doubt for the game. What's your view on it?
Well, I would actually look at it that Mayo, the way that the top teams run their show now, they take nothing for granted, and I'm sure their training regime is based on the fact that they've only had 2 championship games all year. So they've probably, they've kept their fitness levels at such a high level because they didn't even have to probably cater their training around the 2 games that they had. I think they're fresher. It's a huge advantage to go in with that freshness. Players not having knocks. I know Lacey's injury from the Ulster final was fairly serious. Eamon McGee's ankle after last Sunday's game. I mean, while these injuries are taking place, these lads aren't training. And when you go out against...
And what are you hearing on the likelihood of Carl Lacey or Eamon McGee playing?
Well, I mean, after the Ulster final, Lacey's injury was supposedly going to keep him out for 4 weeks. So that means, Tom, that he wasn't going to train for 4 weeks. So, I mean, then do you throw as a player really at his best when he has to come off the treatment table and play against, especially against a team like Mayo, who have players within the squad that'll know that their years are getting very short. That if they want to, if they want to reach out for that Holy Grail, they know that their time is getting short. So I can see a huge effort on Donegal's part to match that, but whether. The 5 matches, and there have been 5 difficult matches. Whether they have taken their toll or not, only Saturday evening will tell.
And we're also joined on the phone by former Tyrone star John Lynch. John, good night to you.
Hey, Tom.
And before we talk to you about Tyrone and Monaghan, what's your view as a neutral looking at Donegal and looking at Mayo and looking at their 2 campaigns and the 6-5 game versus 2 games?
Looking at that, Tom, I would honestly think that the fact that Donegal played 5 games, to me, that would be a benefit for them. You get a better idea of what your team's about. Obviously, you're going to pick up a few injuries, but I'm not too sure how serious their injuries are. I'm sure that Carl Lacey's injury is probably going to keep them out, but I'm sure the rest of the lads are probably just carrying new knocks. But for me personally, I think we can look back and throw them when they won all the way back. They played about 6-7 games at one stage, and it stood to them, Tom. So I think... I honestly think that Donegal can have this match with a way better pedigree when it comes to playing matches the way they've did. And especially all these tough matches, they've learned more from it and they're in a better state of mind. Mayo's going to come into this match with I'm sure with Deutsch, really, Tom, you know, they've played, you know, well, let's not say they've played bad teams, but they've played teams that aren't up to their standard, up to the standard they're at, so they haven't probably learned a lot from what they've done, but obviously they've come in and won the matches. But I still feel Donegal were coming in there with a way better, you know, background with what they've been doing.
Man, Martin, back to you, Martin Carney. Pat Holmes and Noel Connelly have named their team. No changes from the team that defeated Sligo in the final. Any surprise at that?
There is, of course, Tom. Like, I think teams just put, you know, managers name teams simply just to fulfil their duty of giving it to the programme. But it would surprise me hugely if that team lines out on Saturday, to be quite honest about it. I think myself, if Mayo don't have some kind of a sweeper system and, you know, in place for the weekend, in particular to cope with Patrick McVerity and Michael Murphy, then they're wasting their time. And that team that was picked doesn't have any indication to me that there's a sweeper in place. So I would suggest, or my own kind of feel on that is that there may be, or will be, in fact, a couple of changes from what we see.
But, and who's the best place to act the sweeper in your view?
It's hard to know. Maybe Jason Doherty has done very well going back. There's a young O'Connor lad, a brother of Killian's, who's done very well. Actually, he's very good game intelligence. Now, I know in the Connacht final, admittedly against weak opposition, he scored 4 points. But to me, he's a very good engine, and he's also a very good footballer. And maybe they're the guys that will be asked to fulfil that role again if they go that way. But remember, Mayo like to play a traditional enough game, Tom, with halfbacks attacking. So it's up in the air a little bit at the moment as to how they will play. And remember, in Mayo, I don't know how it works in Donegal at the moment, but in Mayo, everything is behind closed doors. One doesn't get really a chance to see them in training, and one doesn't get much of a whisper as to what's happening. So again, I'm only speculating here, Tom, and, you know, acting on gut instinct. But I would think there will be changes from what we've seen at the listed team today.
And in terms of the Donegal team, obviously Manus, Rory Gallagher going to wait until the last minute to find out who's fit. But obviously if Carol Lacey and Eamon McGee come through, they'll be in.
I would think so, especially with such an important game. You know, I mean, Lacey's experience and Eamon's experience and their know-how and how to close people down and how to play the game is invaluable. Although Eamon Doherty done quite well from St. Ginnans, he done quite well last week. Hugh McFadden from my own club here done quite well. Capable of going in and doing a job for you. But it's hard a bit, maybe that bit of experience that Lacey would bring to the team if he was available, you know. But again, I'll go back to him. If he's not fully fit, I think it would be a mistake. And I don't see how a player that hasn't trained since the Ulster final can go against somebody like Mayo, you know.
And John Lynch, I know the clock is very much against us. Tyrone on a bit of a roll. Can they pull one about off against Monaghan on Saturday?
Well, I'm sure, Tom, the Tyrone lads are sort of relishing the prospect ahead of playing Monaghan. I'm sure they have no fear of Monaghan coming ahead. They may feel they owe them one, but, you know, we've been rolling along. A lot of people are saying we haven't played anybody of any great caliber. We've obviously played Donegal and could beat by a point, but I still feel, Tom, we're improving as we move along. You know, I'm sure the camp are pretty happy the way things have been going on. They're getting results and they're moving forward. And I'm sure Monaghan aren't really looking forward to playing us either. So, you know, we're sitting in a pretty good position there at the minute, I think.
And go quickly around, Martin Carney, in a word, Donegal or Mayo?
Well, I think Mayo are the fresher team coming into this, and I think if they can get into the rhythm, and that's questionable, if they can get into the rhythm of the game early on, I think they'll win it, because I do think eventually the fatigue factor may catch up with Donegal.
And Manus, in a word?
Yeah, Donegal play really well. I think they'll win the game, but they'll need a really, really big performance.
My thanks to Manus Boyle, to Martin Carney, and to John Lynch, and also to Jimmy Stafford on sound. Until next week, Slán agus Beannacht.